Hello, you're listening to the Beer and BS Show, a podcast where we drink and review a few beers, oil ourselves up for a chat. A bit of nonsense here and there as we try and navigate around subjects we often have no background or qualifications in, neither the people in the subjects we're talking about have, and make fools of ourselves in the process. I'm, of course, Nathan, and I don't know why Jeff has given me this piece of paper and even let me do the intro to this show, so I'll pass you on.
That's the quickest.
No, I love it, love it. I'm Jeff, your host. We also have...
Aaron.
Hey, welcome to the Beer and BS Show. Cool, let's do this. How are you guys doing?
Yeah, good, man. Yeah, very good. Leeds won, so still happy.
Who are they playing?
Sheffield United. So it's always good to get one over them. Yep. Dirty pigs. So it's nice.
Would you call it a derby?
Yeah, Yorkshire. Yeah, Yorkshire okay. Derby. Yeah.
I won't really class it as a derby as much, really, with Sheffield, but it's kind of the closest thing Leeds have to a derby. Otherwise, what would it be like? Halifax Town or...
that would be a thrashing.
Well, exactly. There's not kind of really much. There's not really much to kind of go. So it's sort of a bit of a derby, but...
Sean
Bean would have been pleased anyway, so...
No, bastard.
Yeah, I mean, the guy can't act, so...
So I have a little bit of bad news. Mm-hmm. Me and Rachel have fallen out.
All right, how come?
Last show. So we've fallen out over my stance, I guess, of homeopathy or homeopathy and vaginal jade eggs. She says she's unable to square up my denial of gynecological crystal harmonics, moonlight as a herbal recipe ingredient, and the balancing of the universe's hormones with her contribution to the show. So she's left. She's
she's saying that the universe has hormones.
Yeah. So yeah. Hang on. So she's left to.
Are you sure she's not been sectioned?
Oh, she's not been sectioned. She's left to join Gwyneth Paltrow on a secret goop retreat in Kippax in Leeds. She won't be back until she's not going to be back until Aaron has become a Kegel exercise swami with a cult following of hundreds of craft ale hipsters.
We'll get there.
As penance, she's been told she'll only come back if I get to drink watered-down homeopathic-style craft ale. And I see the errors in my ways, apparently. So she's
well, just go down Wetherspoons. That'll be fine, surely.
It could be.
Well, actually, I'm not saying Wetherspoons. Oh, sorry, Wetherspoons. That's it. No, that's the fully enough, the only bookshop where it has a bar in it, so...
Wetherspoons. Homeopathic craft ale. No, but seriously, our lovely Rachel will be back soon. She's got a busy schedule for a couple of weeks, and we hope to have her back very soon. Miss you already, Rach.
Yeah, man.
And if you're listening, Aaron has ordered himself a vaginal jade egg.
Yeah, I've got to stop these pee breaks, man. I'm getting everyone down. So I've been for my regular four before we record, so I think I'm all empty.
You're all empty. You've been for about five or six tonight already.
Yeah, well, you know, drink a lot of water.
Well,
know,
just so that
keeping yourself fit.
Just so we can say that Rachel was on the show.
Look out for the rapture chick!
There it is.
So, filling in for Rachel tonight, we have a guest appearance by someone called Stephen Carter. You may have listened to him already. He runs a podcast called Points of Brew Podcast. Welcome to the show, Stephen.
Thanks for having me, mate.
No worries. Glad to be here. So, tell us a little bit about the show.
So my show I pretty much started out of boredom and because I wanted to do a podcast during lockdown. So like many people, I was working from home pretty much from the get-go. I had a boring office job to start with. Then I'd finished work, sat on my sofa in the spare room, so I wanted something to do. So I've already got my Instagram blog, Point to Brew, of the same name. So I thought, well, cool. I like talking about beer, like posting about beer. Let's see if some people want to do it. So I started doing it with people that I know from... friends and from breweries that I know, then I've got a few people on Instagram to do it with me as well. And it's taken off from there. So I've, it's taken off. So I'm on episode 18.
Nice.
I think so from now. So I'm enjoying doing it.
How often do you record?
I try and do it every 2 weeks, which I say I try and do it every 2 weeks. This Friday is the second week deadline from my last show, and I've not got anybody lined up and no recording due. So okay. I'm very laissez-faire about it, but I do need to get back into the routine because I had a short break really because as I changed jobs because I got made redundant from my last job to starting the new one. I did one with a home brewer from Instagram, but I need to line somebody up. Hopefully I'll be able to get one in tomorrow night or Thursday at last minute and stick to my 2-week schedule.
Cool. Has Aaron been on the show?
He's not yet, no. Well, are you busy tomorrow or Thursday, Aaron? No.
I'm working. Not tomorrow, no. Tomorrow will be
We'll leave it for you guys to sort out. But
We'll sort that out.
You'll sort some out.
Nice. Okay, we'll do that. So what we'll do first, before we go a little bit further into your podcast, let's open some beers and see how that goes. So what we do each show is not open the beers in terms of the wrapping, but you taste it blind. So just to make sure we get this right. So this week I've got Nathan's beer. Nathan's beer has gone to you, Stephen, and Stephen's my beer's gone down.
Right. You don't know where it's gone, do you, Jack?
It's back in the fridge. All right, let's start again. So Aaron's got my beer.
Yep.
Who's got your beer?
Steve.
Who's got your beer? Nathan's got Stephen's and I've got Nathan's. There we go.
That's it.
We're all good. So who wants to start this party? Actually, before we start this party, I think Nathan should go first, actually.
Okay.
In what context?
Opening your bloody beer.
All right, okay.
Go on.
So it's been wrapped. In some Salt Brewery greaseproof paper, which is a nice change from normally the tasteless Disney wrapping paper you get normally. So
you really had the beef with that Disney wrapping paper, didn't you?
Oh, because it's shit.
Absolutely every week.
Because everything. It's everything what Disney stands for. Don't even.
You should have been singing that.
Do you really want their lawyers coming down here? The bastards. Yeah, anyway, like I said, just quick disclaimer. I find Disney to be offensive. It shows the world to children through rose-tinted glasses. It's stereotypically racist, and it's just a load of shit.
And
anyway,
beer
on
is.
With the beer. No. Well, actually, there's not really too much head to this. It's kind of a nice kind of amber colour. I'm almost expecting to see a slightly mosquito in here, actually. It looks the best way to describe the colour, it looks like the top of John Hammond's cane from Jurassic Park. there's no head on this at all, though. It's so I'm gonna give it
two Jurassic Park references in one beer review. That were incredible.
Where was the first?
I thought he said a mosquito through it because it were amber. Don't they find a mosquito in amber?
Yeah, that's what's in his cane.
Yeah, I know. And then
that's the same reference.
I'm not arguing.
Hey, listen, he's on form tonight. Don't start hell.
I've never been on form. Also,
I was paying you a compliment.
Without me sounding self-indulgent here, I'd like to apologise for last week where I fell asleep several times during the podcast because I'd had a very busy week. I'd done 80 hours in 8 days. However, that was only the second day. And I was absolutely knackered. That's why I was sent home. I thought I'd been sent home because I'd finally seen sense and thought, we've got to get rid of this guy. He's a liability. But no, they've invited me back again. So if people were missing me on the show, quite why I'm not sure, that's where I was. So on with the beer. Smells a bit like a barley wine, actually.
Mm. Cool. It's definitely got no head to it.
No.
It's a sour as well. I think this is a sour. But it's not kind of one of those like ridiculously offensive tasting sours. It's kind of got like a really kind of nice, I suppose, tasty dryness to it, if that makes sense. It's like, it's like you're drinking a tree.
I think I got a feeling I know what this one is. Cool.
Yeah, it's really good.
Nice. So, Aaron?
Yep. Right, let's give it a go. Is that my catchphrase now, is it? Rightio, let's give it a go. Yes, finally did a good opening. Waiting weeks for that. There we go. Let's borrow a little bit out, don't want
to. Nice colour to it.
Yeah, it's very nice, that. It's opaque. Can't see anything through that.
So I brought two cans of this and I am dead keen to try. I haven't tried it yet, but I'm dead keen to try this.
That It's completely opaque. Cannot see anything through that.
Some good head retention.
Oh.
What smells?
Peach, maybe.
Nice. It looks like New England again.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, might even be sort of milkshakey. Definitely
so
might have.
We keep mentioning milkshake on the show, and a lot of our listeners may not realize, but milkshake is basically the process of using milk sugars, lactic acid in the brew process.
Yeah, like lactose and
well, not lactic acid.
I'm going to say that's
lactose rather.
Won't be brilliant, but yeah, so
the lactose doesn't get digested.
Yeah,
in the
lactose, dextrose,
process.
Stuff yeah, like that.
But the lactose doesn't get.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
turned
so
it, into the
it
alcohol
stays and so it adds
it,
body. And
it gives the creaminess to it.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, and that's similar to that. Might not be, but it's definitely very very full body. Big fruit flavours in aroma and taste. Not much bitterness. So.
Okay, cool. I shall.
No, that's class. I'm going to definitely enjoy that. I think it's quite strong.
Okay. I'm not sure. Actually, I haven't checked the ABV. Oh. Actually, I've got a rough idea what the ABV is.
Yeah.
But I think it's up there. When I saw this one, I thought, right, getting two of those because keen to try that.
Definitely.
So let's do my one. So we have a smaller can wrapped in kitchen paper.
Classy as always.
Of course, yeah. Well, what's the point of using wrapping paper when you can use it for others? In fact, why even use wrapping paper?
Like wrapping presents.
Well, I use tinfoil. That way the UN's mine satellites can't see what they are.
Well, that's they're spying on your Christmas presents.
Well, they try to, but they can't see anything.
I was going to say very paranoid. But anyway, there's a little bit ahead on this. There's not much carbonation, so it's not that hazy. Golden colour, but it's not definitely clear, though.
No, it has got a bit.
It's got a really rich, fruity flavour, smell, rather. Yes, this is going to be good. I can already tell.
I love that when you can smell a beer and you know that it's going to be class.
Yeah, that is class. That's really good. Again, not picking up. It does take me a little while to get the flavours to come through, but I will come back to that in a minute. So we'll move on to Stephen.
Cool. There you go.
Yep. So we've got it in the classic blue roll.
As always.
And as anyone will say, we'll know what blue roll is.
Good sound effect coming in that one as well.
So it's a definite yellow colour coming out of there.
Have you taken a pee in a can?
It's definitely got the fruity, tropical, citrusy fruits that you expect from a sort of a New England. It's definitely the thick, juicy, opaque, orangey, yellowy colour.
Yeah.
It's even more opaque than mine.
I love that about some New Englands, that they just look like a glass of orange juice.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Some of them, that one definitely does, doesn't it?
Mm. It's not as thick as I thought it might be.
No.
Don't taste as thick. It feels a bit thinner than it actually looks, but the flavour is really good.
Has anyone got any suspicions on who their beers might be by or what type they are?
No.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. It's a black can, which only a few breweries do black cans, but
I tried to cover the black bit, but it looked...
I'd like to take a guess, actually, what that is, actually, what you're drinking.
Go on, then. Yeah, as long as you didn't buy that one, that's fine.
Well, no, I didn't buy it. I judge it from the fact it's a black can, I'd say it's Carling Black Label.
I mean, if that's Carling Black Label, I'll definitely buy it more often.
I'm going to say, to be fair, if that is actually Carling Black Label, then that is impressive. It does look a really nice drink, actually.
It does.
All right, I've got a suspicion I know what that one is as well.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Go on.
We'll leave that.
He's not willing to put it out there.
Well, actually, no, I put it out. Well, no, because it'll be a bit. Right. It might sound a bit cheap, and I'll explain that towards the end of the show. Okay, so.
Cool. What, Carling Black Label doesn't sound cheap.
It can only get better from there, surely.
Well, exactly, yeah, Jeff, you know.
So, what you've also all got is you've got a bit of bread in front of
we
you
do.
Now. As you may recall, a few shows ago, we decided to do a little test of the Quirky Porter with Eco Baker. Eco Baker kindly baked us 6 loaves. I ate one whole one, I'm afraid. And they were given out to winners on the show. So, if you want to have a little nibble of that
while
you're
having
that and tell me your thoughts. It is quite thick and crusty. As I've told you before, it's got like a Kevlar style crust to it, but that it's just really rich.
It's a manly bread.
Yeah, it's really rich and tasty. So just wondering what your thoughts are on the bread. So if you want to munch down while I introduce our next bits. And then we'll talk about the bread again in a second. So, Steve, while we do that, do you have a favourite beer?
My favourite beer will probably be my favourite brewery, which my favourite brewery is Verdant from Cornwall. Mm-hmm. Just because Good I love shout. Going to Cornwall every year, which is where we're still supposed to be getting married, me and Anna, which we are planning on to do in October, fingers Congrats. Crossed.
Good luck.
Delayed from April. So, you know, it's been a long time coming. So, it's just been one thing after another. Then, as honeymoon accommodation cancelled on us over the weekend as well. So, you know, 4 weeks' notice, it's like, brilliant. We'll have to find somewhere else to book. So, thankfully, that's been sorted. But I'd probably say Bloom by Verdant.
Okay.
It's probably my favourite beer, which I love these sort of juicy beers, New England, hazy, thick, opaque, mm-hmm. tropical things. But Bloom is more West Coasty. Yep. And West yeah. Coast ever so much edges it for me, because I think if you get a good West Coast, it's a hard beer to do
yeah.
in terms of nail the brief.
Yeah, yeah,
And
definitely.
When you get it, when you get that bitterness, but you get that pininess and that sort of yeah. juiciness and that fruitiness from those hops in particular, yeah. it's really nice. So I think
yeah,
Bloom for me.
Hard.
I have problems with the West Coast ones, because I think I've got that... I can't remember what the name of the... What the Americans call it?
Aluminum?
No, the coriander.
You've said this before. You've got like this gene that where you
the 1% of the population have got this gene where crushed coriander tastes like detergent,
right?
And I get a lot of detergent flavors from West Coast.
Okay,
so we're still trying to determine what hop that could possibly
I've
be.
I've tried
for
to
me.
Narrow it down, and from just beers that I know we've had together and things like that. And
sometimes I get a pint, it tastes like fairy liquid. Mm. And it just absolutely
ruins it.
Yeah. Total sucks. But I think West Coast have been hit and miss for me, personally.
Yeah, yeah.
So Verdant have got a huge following, though. I've not tried any of their beers
yet.
Oh,
the class. So they're really good. Really good brewery.
They've got a really good following. And the generally speaking, they do the thick and the juicy beers more than they do the other stuff. And Bloom, they have just rebrewed it and re-released it, which I'm trying to get my hands on a few cans, but they don't brew it as often as what I think they should do. But they've got a very loyal following, because they came out of, like a lot of breweries do now, they come out of nowhere very quickly and they can kind of nail it quite quickly. You know, I think cynically, I think they do reskin a lot of the beers, or they try and brew something and it comes out with something different potentially. So they try and brew wooden beer, but then it comes out wrong, so they relabel it. Yeah. That's me personally, because they bring a lot of beers out. Yeah. Like trying to keep up with their beers is very, very difficult.
Yeah, they've got like 1 week or something. Like it's, you know, so that's tough going.
Do you know anywhere in Leeds where you can pick up Verdant?
So I mean, from us where I work now, just outside Leeds in Castleford, York Craft Beers, we've got a good range in there. Johnny and Mayton,
give them a proper shout. Where are they based?
Yeah, so we're based in Castleford. So like I said, I lost my job as part of COVID. I got made redundant in my previous job in Leeds. Found my feet quite quickly with James at York Craft Beers in Castleford, which Aaron does frequent quite regularly.
Cool.
So I got to know James, the owner, from just shopping there. We'd already planned on working together in some capacity in the future. He wants to open a bar potentially in some point, and he wanted me to run it for him.
Nice.
And then he found out I'd lost my job, and he said, "Do you want to come work down here? Want to open 7 days?" So I was like, "Yes." So I've class, you know, that, innit? Albeit I lost my job, I got made redundant, but I found my feet in a
bounce back up.
You know, in an industry that I really love and enjoy. So we've got a great range of Verdant beers, which I think is probably the best range of Verdant, or the biggest range of Verdant, should I say, in sort of local craft shops. But I know Verdant do love Leeds. They are quite up, well, obviously COVID permitting, they are up in Leeds quite regular. So do support Johnny at Rainville in Leeds, Little Leeds Beer House, those sort of places as well. So
do you guys sell online?
Yes, we do, yeah. So we do online shipping as well, which we've just started as I've come in as well, which again was the reason why James wanted me to join on.
Yeah, it was a lifesaver, Yorkshire Craft Beer, for me. During, I mean, I can give it a shout out on a personal level as well. You know, when lockdown first happened and you weren't allowed out to do shopping and stuff like that, they did delivery service and things like that, and it were brilliant.
So it shipped nationally?
Yes, yeah, we've done nationwide shipping, so that's why James wanted me to come on, went to 7 days a week. Nationwide shipping, because James was just doing single-handedly the deliveries during lockdown, because he shut the shop and just operated as a warehouse in essence.
Yeah, we're working hard, man. Yeah, we really were.
So we've currently got nationwide shipping. We're 10% off at the minute. So,
all right. Well, I'll be on the website tomorrow to buy some Verdant, and I'll get proper shop details on the show notes of where to buy it. So we'll get that proper push. So, what did you guys think of the bread?
Good, man. It's rich, isn't it?
Yeah.
Really rich, that.
So that's a quirky porter.
I don't know why, but I thought it'd be darker. I mean, some of the crust is darker, but I thought it'd be darker. I
kept saying it was rye bread, but it isn't. It's a sourdough.
Right, fair enough. So yeah,
the rye bread would be a little bit darker than that. How did you deal with the bread knife?
I really liked it. Why is that funny?
You just look like you were struggling with it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, look like a bit.
No, I was struggling to finish it. To be fair, I really liked it. I liked the fact that it was like. Some people say bread's bread, but that was, you know, it was really tasty. A lot of texture to it, and it also had a slight sourness to it as well. Mm-hmm. And as for the hardness of the bread, I don't know if anyone can hear this. the crust is quite tough, but at the same time, there is a lot of taste in there as well. It's kind of it's kind of like you think with bread it's something to accompany with, but you could actually have that with some butter on and think, yeah, that was a nice snack.
I got to say the bread isn't stale, despite the bang of it on the work surface there.
It's a proper bang as well.
It has got a really nice, again, I've said it before, I'll say it again, Kevlar style crust to it. But it's rich, tasty, there's loads of flavours in it. It's quite good. So that was produced by ecobaker.co.uk. They sell online products for all your home baking needs. At the moment, they've got 10% off baskets on their site at the moment, so head to their site, have a look what they got to offer. They only ship to the UK though, so if you're listening internationally, you can get in touch with EcoBaker directly and see if they will, but at the moment shipping is UK only, so it's ecobaker.co.uk. What did you think of the bread, Steve?
I'm liking it. I think the crust has got the most flavour, ironically, yeah. You know, considering it's the hardest part. It is tough going, but I mean, I do love bread, and I think the crust is the best part of any loaf of bread.
I agree, totally.
It's probably a bit tougher than what I'd enjoy my crust, but in terms of the actual flavours that are coming through, it's a really, really
it is,
nice
and
bread.
It goes down really well toasted. I think the crust becomes a little bit more brittle when you toast it, and it's
a bit
more dead, but it is spot on. So,
it's quality.
Huge thank you to Phil at Eco Baker. Cool. So what we're going to do is a little bit of beer and bullshit.
Yeah.
And the philosopher's pint glass.
Hey.
Do you want to go ahead with a first question of Steve?
Yeah, I can do. Yeah. So, you ready?
I'm ready.
Yeah. Right, Theo. So, first question. If all the rules of physics were gone, and, you know, this is no, there's no barriers, do what you want, what celebrity would you have the most pleasure in kicking out of your own pub?
Oh, that's a tricky one. That's tricky. There's probably a long list.
Yeah, there is. Yeah,
probably. I mean, top of the list is probably Katie Hopkins.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, that's fine.
Fucking moron.
Yeah, I hate
thinking that she's a celebrity because she's not.
No,
because she's
not.
Just somebody that got. She's an outspoken idiot that got some notoriety and fame on various social media platforms. But I mean, if she could go into fucking space and land in the sun, then that'd be.
Well, surely I have to say that's not really fair on the sun. The best thing I think for her would just to be in the
floating
in
space,
just the vacuum of space, really.
Just I think void.
The bullshit she spouts is just it's non-stop, isn't it?
I kind of feel a bit bad just mentioning her name because she doesn't deserve the oxygen of publicity when she actually doesn't deserve the oxygen of oxygen, to be fair. like you say, she's just offensive.
Mm. Exactly. Yeah, that's a good shout, man.
The thing that got me is the irony of when she was on this morning, I think, kids shouldn't have names after places or inanimate objects, blah, blah. And then Philip Scott went, well, your daughter's named Indy. And she went, well, that's different. And it's like, you're literally complaining about people naming the naming the children after cars, countries, this, that, and other. And like, your daughter is literally named India.
Yeah, exactly.
You're the height of hypocrisy right now. You're just
awful
an idiot.
Person.
Like, you're so much of an idiot you can't even recognise your own idiocy. It's crazy.
She's a foul mouth, hate spouting, horse faced, horrible piece of work.
I mean, there's so much to go for, isn't there? Really, it's just a long, long list. But no. I think she'd be the top of the of the tree.
Totally good call.
Definitely. That one.
That's a good answer. So I will do the next question for you. For shits and giggles, which three things would you have at a supermarket in your basket at the checkout? Just to get a response out of the checkout person.
just get a lol out of them, or
yeah, free things. It could be anything you want. It could be someone in the queue looking in your basket and they go, oh my god, or you know, the cashier's going, okay.
Well, I think Johnnies are always one, aren't they? I think that's an awkward thing. Is back in the day when you had to buy a pack of Johnnies, and like, it's awkward for them, it's awkward for you. But I think if you had some Anusol at the same time, I think that'd be that'd probably be up there with the two.
What's Anusol?
It's I mean, I don't know what it's technically for, but it's for some bottom problems.
Yes.
So I don't know the medical definition of it, but I know that it's for people having difficulties with the.
Yeah, it's not
with the bottom. So I think that'd be quite funny to have that at the same time.
God, what are you putting
in? Well, yeah, exactly. And then I think you'd have to have something completely left field, like, you know, just like a colouring book or something, just completely random. You know, lube would be like the low hanging fruit. But if you had like a colouring book, so it's like either before or after entertainment, just like, yeah, we'll do that. Then we'll put your anusol on, and then we'll do some colouring afterwards.
Fair, so you know,
you're going to be on toilet drawing. For a while, or drawing dot to dot something, you know, or jigsaw, you know, just something completely innocent, and just like that's a Friday night right there. That's a good evening.
Oh god.
All right, so I'll do one more for you, and then I'll get Nathan to do his. If you could wipe a band or artist from history, what band or artist? Just to add, we're not suggesting putting them up against the wall and then taking them out.
I mean, I'd do that.
A firing range.
Yeah, I mean, I'm welcoming that.
All right, okay.
So
it
has to be Adele. Like my two top two would be Adele or Sam Smith, which
I think
both of them in the male and female equivalent are just the same as each other, that they're both whiny, irritating, just get over it bullshit. Just,
yeah.
I mean, Adele's just made a career out of singing about an ex that just get over it. Just move on. Do you know what I mean? She's like, if you were the ex, you'd be wanting some royalties from that. Do you know what I mean? It's your whole material is just based about our breakup, and it's just like, just move on, just get over it. And the reason you've not seen out for her for what, 4 or 5 years, because she's not broken up with anybody. That's the thing, is she's not broken up with it. So it's just
and she's, I think, lost
she's
the muse.
Yeah, that's it. She's lost her material, and I think she's just so overrated.
Yeah,
I think Sam Smith is the same. It going through this whole, oh, I'm struggling during lockdown, and I'm crying, I'm not a he or a she. I'm just a, you know, I'm gender neutral, and this. It's just stop seeking people's attention.
I
can't say I know too much about her music or listen to it, so I've got no opinion there. Not that I disagree with you, I'd probably fully agree once I've listened. But Sam Smith, yeah, fuck that.
Yeah. just like, I'm a toaster. I'm a toaster. I'm not a person.
I think it's coming true. I'm just like, Sam who?
But yeah, but I mean, if the option is to put them in, you know, put them in front of a firing squad, I'm happy to commission
to do that.
Yeah,
fair enough. We'll sort it out. It's fine.
The powers that be.
So, Nath, your question.
So my question, what? Stop looking at me, the pair of you.
I feel like this is going to be a
right. I don't know if Jeff's looking at me for the concern of dead air, and Aaron's just looking at me because he's just dying to laugh.
I'm not laughing.
Do you know the question, Aaron?
I don't know.
Okay, then I'll just before I ask the question, Aaron, just look at me for 5 seconds without laughing. Right, okay, we can go. What's the last furry thing that you touched?
Wow. I mean, if you want to be really, really specific, you'd probably say my face, because I'd probably touch my face, albeit in COVID.
That's fair enough.
3,000 times, because I've got some slight fur on my chin, albeit not. I've shaved since, like, during lockdown. I had a bit more of a beard going, but I mean, if you really want to go into the nitty gritty, then I went to the toilet just before we recorded. So, I mean, if you want to go that into that sort of candid and
what sort of animal was it that was in the toilet?
I think it was a ferret.
We are in Yorkshire. You have one down your trousers.
Is it still there now?
I mean, I mean,
do you
want to
touch it, Nathan?
I'm not wondering. I just want to know where it is. That's all. I'm just concerned for its well-being.
If we start hearing knocking on the door, then we probably know it's still in there somewhere.
Yeah, exactly,
so, I mean,
I just hope no one from the RSPCA is listening to this, because that's really going
to. Should we move swiftly on then?
Yes, let's go.
The final one for beer and bullshit and the philosopher's pint glass. If you had a disease named after you, and let's call it Stevitis, what would the symptoms be?
That's a really tough one.
Yeah.
That's a really, really tough one. I don't even know, you know. I don't even know.
It could be fun symptoms. Don't have to be
I don't even know. I won't even know where to begin. There's just do you want to just do something hilarious, or do you want to be really tight on somebody and just go, oh well, yeah, you just your ass itches constantly or something. Do you know what I mean? It's just I don't even know what I'd even say. I just want just to subject people to even more boredom. I just like it to be chronic boredom. Just every now and again, just even when you're enjoying something, just even if you're in the middle of something you really enjoy, just all of a sudden just like, nah, I'm bored.
Just click your fingers.
Yeah, just that's it. Just I've lost all entertainment and enjoyment out of that.
I think Andy Murray's got that.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't think he's enjoyed anything ever. I mean, I think even when he won Wimbledon, I mean, you wouldn't even tell that he's won, would you? Let's be fair.
So Andy Murray has steveitis.
Yeah, he's the first person diagnosed with steveitis.
Right, well, do you know steveitis is now a thing?
Mm.
That's it.
We'll have to tweet him or call him out and say, you have steveitis. Create a Wikipedia page for it and everything.
Just do it every day until he replies.
Cool.
All right, so harass him then on social media.
Basically, bully him, yeah.
I've just thought, I mean, seeing like with celebrities' social media, they seem to be able to do what they want. Some kind of young upstart thing saying, oh, you've got steveitis, they'll just ban us instantly.
Well, give it a go.
Well, yeah, why not? I mean, I've... I forget how many times I've been banned off Twitter now.
Not been permabanned yet.
I've not been permabanned because I keep making new accounts. My first actual ban from Twitter was in 2009. And I literally got banned because we made this gaming Twitter thing where we said, oh, I'm going to play this now. And then we get all these advertising companies following me. And I just went, why are advertising companies who have nothing to do, who don't have anything to do with computer games or anything, following me? Fuck off.
Plain.
Banned.
Banned.
So
well, I've got one final question for you then. So this isn't the beer or bullshit, but just to kind of wrap up that segment, I know we talked about your favourite beers, but if someone said to you in a bar, and it's not Katie Hopkins.
That's good.
She's been kicked out.
I want to try craft ale. What should I try? If you could sort of like... a beginner's craft ale, something that you know they're going to like, what would you suggest to someone?
So, I mean, to me, as much as it's a very controversial subject, I still think supermarket craft beer brings a lot to the table to introduce people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think still BrewDog do as well. Because certainly from my own perspective, BrewDog is literally how I got into craft beer.
Yeah.
Which people probably get bored with me telling the stories. I tell it every time, pretty much on the podcast, is that before craft beer, I didn't drink anything.
Really?
Until in one of my previous jobs, I won a dog pack from BrewDog, and I was going to gift it to my brother and my dad because they drunk craft beer. And then I thought, well, do you know what? Actually, I'll give it a go. And then I gave it a go, and it's like, well, actually, beer's really not nice. This boring, bland, flat,
exactly that
nonsense that you know that I've traditionally known and tried. And then I've just enjoyed it from there. So I think BrewDog would be my first port of call. Then moving on to sort of people like Abbey Dale and a few of the Yorkshire breweries that do just non-offensive or inoffensive American pales, IPAs, that sort of thing. You know, you don't want to blow the red off with a Verdant or a North or a Northern Monk. You know, you don't want to because if you give them something like that, it's like, what the frigging hell is that? Do you know what I mean? It doesn't even look like beer for a start. Like you said earlier, it looks like juice or breakfast juice. Yeah, so
you've got to build it up, haven't you?
Yeah, exactly. So if you kind of establish, I think like what you're saying earlier, Jeff, is obviously identifying what flavours either don't work for you or you don't enjoy, give them something sort of a bit like that that's a bit more, you know, sort of a not as powerful in hop profile. Mm-hmm. Identify what they liked about it, then move on from there and then just progress from there.
If you were to say any of the brew dogs, which would you go for?
I mean, I think Punk is probably a great starting point for somebody. There's a lad that I know that he just drinks like Carlin, Foster's, that sort of thing. And then I tried to give him a pint of Punk. It tastes like coal, which I've never, ever, ever had somebody say a beer tastes like coal before. If it was like a smoked porter or stout or something,
maybe
I'd understand that a bit more. But that was a weird one.
I don't even know what coal tastes like anyway.
Well, I mean, I mean, he doesn't work on the trains or in the mine or something, you know, so he doesn't suck coal for a living. But I think Punk would be a great start.
And then move on from
like even other BrewDog beers from there, it'd be just like even recently you've got a triple IPA from BrewDog in supermarkets now, and then obviously progress to other more quote unquote craft breweries from there really.
Yeah, Punk IPA is definitely a good entry point for someone who's just used to lager. Mm-hmm. It's got a bit more flavour to it,
yeah.
But it's definitely got the same kind of body and consistency.
I think it's a lot of people's introduction to...
It looks like beer. You know, it's. I mean, I know Punk isn't what it used to be when it first came out, because obviously it was supposed to be a copy of Jaipur by Thornbridge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I know that it has lost its way, and obviously as BrewDog have commercialised, it's become less and less like that.
Yeah,
you know, its
flavour
and things have changed. But like you say, it looks like beer. It doesn't taste... completely out there, you know, like you do get the tropic fruits on this and things like that. So I think that is a great place to start.
Cool. All right, well, awesome. We'll get that suggestion in the show notes as well. So I'm going to move on to some topical-ish news. So we're going to do Trump and taxes, which was the big thing this week. So last weekend, the New York Times gave us cause for concern with details of Trump's tax returns. I think it gives Donald Trump cause for concern as well. The self-proclaimed fantasy billionaire and orange Oompa Loompa Pinocchio has been on the defensive this week, claiming all sorts of things, that he pays his taxes. But claiming that it is
fake story after fake story.
This is bullshit. Yes. The guy pays no fucking taxes. He's paid in parts, but just I'll break it down a bit for you. So, coming into the presidency before he won,
mm-hmm.
he claimed that he earned $434 million in the year leading up to becoming president. In that year, it's just been released, he only paid $750 tax.
Bloody hell.
That's a bit of a piss take, isn't it?
You know, really? I guarantee you, everyone in this room has paid more taxes than him.
Jesus.
And then in his first year as president, earning $400,000 mm-hmm. that year, plus a generous $50,000 expense allowance, again, paid $750. It's absolutely fucking bonkers.
How do they get away with it?
So it's federal taxes, which... And I'm sure someone can correct me, but it is the equivalent of income tax that we'd pay. We pay it through paye.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you're a private business or a sole business trader, you do your tax return at the end of the year, and that's what it is, $750. As a baseline, Obama and Bush Jr. Both paid $100,000. A year in federal taxes. I mean, who would have known we'd been hungering for, if not a tiny bit, for the good old days of Bush Jr.? they seem like absolutely fucking sane days.
Yeah, they seem like heroes now of the free world compared to...
I mean, it doesn't surprise you, does it? You think about it.
How do they get away with it? That's what I want to know. I don't understand how you'd go... I know there's like offshore accounts and...
I want his accountant.
Well, one of the things I read up on it was apparently what he's done. I'd like to know who his accountant is, actually, because I could do with seeing him. I think there's some kind of tax loophole that's been exploited. Like, where, you know, there was like, you know, to name a few people, there was Jimmy Carr, the guy from Take That, where it was like some kind of offshore, where it was like some kind of the tax, the base they kind of themselves in Guernsey.
Yes.
And like they paid like 1% or something, like what they should have actually been paying. And I think what he's done, he's exploited some tax, or his accountant or something.
Yeah.
Has exploited some tax loophole where, like, because I mean, he's millions of dollars in debt. He's been bankrupt twice. I think he's, I suppose the best way to put it is he's on borrowed time, I think.
Can I correct it again? He personally has never been bankrupt.
Yeah,
it's just his business.
I beg your pardon. Yeah, just his company's out, because I know he's got loads of, I think all of his money's in real estate, but I think it's going to get to the stage where he's going to have to...
Stupid amount of companies. Something like 500 companies.
Really?
Listed under his name.
I need to up my game, and I've only got 400, so I'm going to have to up my game.
No, it is nuts. You are right. There is some stupid shenanigans going on.
But what he's done, the argument is what he's done is actually legal. And of course, all of the...
I don't know if it is.
The brain-dead zombies who think he's actually any good are like, oh, well, what he's done is legal. It's like...
I still think he'll bounce back from it. I mean,
you can't win a war against stupid, so...
I'm saying there's plenty of stupid people out
there. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they're all going to be fine with it.
He's been broke for a long time, I think.
Yeah.
You just have to look at his face.
When he would, rather not. Yeah, so for the quote I read was 10 out of the last 15 years he's paid zero tax. 10 out of the last 15 years.
That's ridiculous.
It is absolutely bonkers. I'll add to,
wouldn't his job be paid by the taxpayers of America? Is that?
Yeah, so essentially what you got there, what you got. So you've got someone claiming benefit.
Yeah.
Living in a house provided for them by the state.
Yeah.
Has he got five kids by three different wives?
Yeah, something ridiculous, isn't it? Yeah.
Where have you heard that story before? You know, that's someone.
In fact, number 10 Downing Street over here, actually, I think we heard the same story.
Well, as much as I don't like the cunt, I think Boris Johnson probably does pay his taxes.
Well,
I have no choice.
Well, but the point is, he's three wives, five kids, different mothers, living in a house provided for him.
Tax-free,
and claiming benefits. It is a proper benefits grounder.
Yeah. Winning it's got a life, different connotation in Britain, hasn't it? You wouldn't think you were explaining Donald Trump in that sentence, would you?
But he is, though.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Does it mean he won't win the next election?
No,
I don't.
Probably not.
It's on a knife edge still, I think.
Yeah. I can't, yeah. And I know we've, oh God, I know we've said it before, but yeah, I still think he'll win. I really do. It's a knife edge. I don't think it's as close as you're going to...
But the Make think. America Great Brigade are like... Okay, yeah, exactly. If you don't pay taxes, deport the fuckers.
Yeah.
If you don't pay them, he was clever enough to get away with it.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, exactly.
Well,
yeah.
The thing is, a lot of his supporters, and I'm, you know, I'm just going to say this. If you are a Trump supporter listening to this, I hope you die of AIDS.
No.
You are a cunt. You are a hypocrite. Oh, I'm finally going to get kicked off the show now.
Just toning you down, eh?
We found the line.
We finally found it. It's only taken us how many episodes?
Yeah. All right.
Hope you die of AIDS. I apologize. I hope you just have annoying head colds for the rest of your life. You're still a cunt, though.
Okay. So I think tax is a good thing.
Yeah, I do.
Okay, so and it's just like, I'd quite happily pay more tax. The way I see tax is like this. So you've got other arseholes at Amazon. So it's not only individuals, it's companies, Starbucks, there's Googles, there's Facebooks, there's Amazon. So when Amazon, for example, want to open a new warehouse in South Wales, they go there because the local council said, we'll build a road for you, you know, logistics, get your vans in, your vans out, get all your goods in stock, we'll send them out via the roads, we'll pay for bringing up your workforce, we'll put them through schools. Not that you need a university degree, but we put you through the education systems. We provide you a workforce. We then go on to provide NHS to make sure your fucking workforce is healthy. Mm. We provide you policing to make sure no fuckers break into your warehouse and rob you fucking senseless. We pay for a defence that now you Brexit fucking voking idiots have forced us to leave the EU. We've got a defence force just in case France decide to invade. We pay our taxes for a reason.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, the companies like Amazon's, Google's, Donald Trump's, and he is a tax evader here as well, because I'm pretty sure he's doing it on the same on his golf courses in Scotland.
Yeah,
good point, actually.
Does anyone have AIDS on his golf courses?
I mean, do you mean like motorized vehicles we're driving around in?
Well, just hopefully there is somebody who has AIDS and attacks him with a syringe if he ever visits there.
No.
I don't know why I'm just keeping saying this till I get thrown off the show, so I'm just...
But the point is, come on, taxes are there for a reason. It's not anti-capitalistic to demand the
people. No, of course not.
It's like, I paid more taxes than fucking... And like, I know it doesn't have any real effect on me, being that Trump's an American, he's president of America, I am British, I'm a British citizen. I pay my taxes for our NHS, I think it's a good thing, it's a worthwhile thing. You know, for countries to run, and you to take part in that country, you've got to pay your dues.
Yeah. I mean, it's good. Like Nathan mentioned earlier, obviously, like Jimmy Carr was quite a high profile case. And what I quite like about Jimmy Carr is he takes the piss out of himself for doing it. You know, he's the first one to rib himself for doing it and things like that. And that's fair enough. I mean,
still a tax avoiding arsehole.
Yeah, he is. But I don't know, it's weird. If you make the joke first, it's kind of like, oh, you know, yeah, okay, fair enough. Would you have respected? Well, actually, I was about to ask you if you want to respect Trump, but would you?
he got up there in the press room at the White
if he'd
House
got up and said, "Listen, I did it."
Like, that'd be cool, fuckers.
Yeah,
now, exactly. How's he say, losers?
The thing is, though, with like Jimmy Carr and stuff, is like, if you're in his position and your accountant says there's a loophole,
exactly, and you think you're going to get away with it.
If you can do it, then you can't blame them for trying it, because if they can do it and get away with it, if it's not actually quote unquote illegal. Then, you know, and it's not morally right, but
it depends where your moral compass is.
Yeah, exactly. It depends on what you feel is just. But, like you say, Jeff, is that we in this country pay taxes because we pay for the NHS
and
other things as well, because we don't have to pay for healthcare. So that goes directly to our public services that we desperately need. And obviously, at this moment in time, critical under financial strain. So for me, it's that if you are, I mean, obviously, Trump's different because, like you say, it's a different country. But certainly, if it was in this country and you're expecting to be treated by the NHS and then you're not paying your tax, then you're basically taking straight from their mouths, aren't you, at the end of the day? So
that's it.
So it's, I know it's different from there because they pay for healthcare separately, but certainly in this country it's more of a direct input.
Or we do pay for our healthcare, but it's not pay as you use the service. You get knocked down in the road, you haven't got $1,000 bill for an ambulance.
That's it.
And if you've broken a leg, you're not being charged for that in hospital. You pay upfront as a very tiny percentage of your salary. It comes directly out. It doesn't account to much, but because we, as a country, all put that money in, there is that service there and everyone gets it.
This is it. And obviously taxes will come back to bite us after this whole thing, because inevitably tax will probably go up to pay back some of this furlough scheme, which is that, you know, I didn't necessarily benefit from it because I was working at the time during the whole thing.
But if it
means people had jobs saved, the country stayed afloat, I don't mind if taxes go up slightly, because at the end of the day, if it's, you know, for the better of everybody else, it's not this selfish.
All goes back into the system as well, doesn't it? You know, if people got more money, they can come, you know, buy beer or, you know, go shopping or whatever, and it all goes back into the community that way. So
exactly. It's only going to benefit everybody at the end of the day.
What I find most annoying about it is the cult of big companies and personalities. You know, it's like everyone praises the likes of Elon Musk and the Google, Starbucks, you know, if they can make loads of money, why can't they just keep it? It's like capitalism and free markets, a system. But I think I do think that. So capitalism and free markets are, as a system, are okay. But they're not a religion.
No.
It's not the be all and end all. It just really gets to me why people champion the ability to avoid paying taxes. It's all just bollocks. I was going to go on a massive rant. I'm not going to.
I feel like he's having to quash a massive rant right
now.
Squeezing it in.
I am putting my rant down. There's something I could go on quite passionately about. I just think they're cheating scumbags. And they're not paying their dues or their ways.
Your way, man. You know.
Well, they're just pretending to be these leaders of society. But
and the sad thing is, like, governments look after them, though, because obviously the ultimate thing is that if they're not on board, then they can pull out from there, and obviously it accounts for X amount of percentage of the economy. But
they're not going to.
But they'll look after them. Do you know what I mean? It's the sad thing is they'll turn a blind eye to it, and it's like, well,
do you think Google for a single minute, if they say, right, pay your taxes or fuck off? Actually, let's pay our taxes. They're not going to fuck off.
No.
It's the likes of Facebook's. Do you think Starbucks would close other doors?
No, would you?
Of course they wouldn't.
Or they'll come to some sort of agreement, or just like backhanders or something, we'll do this and whatever. It's just
that's
like
it.
And that's the sad fact of, like you say, capitalism, that they always look after the big companies and the little companies have to suffer at the end of the day, don't they?
That's it.
I don't know, have you got anything you want to add to that, Nathan?
No.
Alright, well, I'm just going to finish off.
Well, unless it involves, I can say that I hope the people responsible for any of this have some horrible disease happen to them. I'm slightly worried, actually. Well, can I just say, I hope it is the zygote and heterozygote of the AIDS virus that they get.
Come on.
It did so well to start with.
Right. No more.
You're getting, one you're getting technical, that's still going to cause offence.
Yeah.
Just
behave yourself.
I'm trying my best, but I'm drunk.
So, just to finish off on that note, Trump is nothing more than the broke father of 5 kids by 3 different women living in public housing.
Scumbag.
Yeah. let's move on. Talking of fake news.
Fake story after fake story.
Oh, he's back.
British Scouts have a new badge.
Go on.
It's a badge for fighting fake news.
Okay.
So they've got this. So I can see where when I read it first, I think it was a bit of clickbait.
Yeah, I'm gonna say. Need to explain this.
Did you get your badge for that clickbait identification?
Yeah. No, I did. Yeah. Dub. So it was launched by super celeb Bear Grylls.
Hey.
I know.
Of all things for him to endorse,
I know.
A fake news badge. Really?
Oh, yeah, I used to like Bear Grylls.
I thought he was just killing innocent animals on the TV just to make himself look hard. Why?
I'd rather him do that than just fake news identification.
That's what they were good at.
Mm. So what basically this badge does is scouts will be taught to spot fake news and watch out for sponsored celebrity endorsed products on social media, for example. Just giving them a bit more of a sort of clued up presence when they're surfing the internet and social media and various websites.
This is a good idea to teach them, isn't it?
Mm. I totally agree. Yeah. I mean, it was a bit of a clickbait article.
Yeah,
the whole fake news, but it does make sense. So I think really ultimately what that means is we've got to wait for a generation before the next voters appear armed with these skills. So we don't get another Boris Johnson or a Donald Trump all this fake news.
Do you even get many, I'm going to say next generation, is Scout still a popular...
It is apparently
thing. Is it? I mean, I was in scouts when I was younger.
I was a scout, but there weren't girls in it, and there's girls in scouts.
No, we had
now.
Girls in ours. Yeah, when I was. Yeah.
Oh, well, is that the only reason you're in there?
Yeah, just a good way to get girls in your tent.
Was that a badge?
Yeah, I did well at that. I got my level 3.
If you could invent your own badge, what scouting badge would you invent? We'll do this in turns.
Oh God, my own scouting badge.
Yeah, what scouting badge do you want?
If I were a scout, what would I want? Jesus, it would be. I would have loved a badge for woggle making.
What the fuck?
What the hell is that?
Like, right when you have your little scout neckerchief around you, you know when that. You know they all wore green, and they'd have a different colour neckerchief around your neck. So, to you know,
identify where
you were
levels,
from,
levels, basically.
Oh, no, like what troop you were from, and all that sort of stuff.
I was in 8th Hendon.
Okay, so
there was no other Hendon group. I'm just assuming there were 8 Hendons that closed down.
Yeah. No, like when you went on scout camp, there'd be like a Mansfield one.
Oh, where are you from?
Yeah, there was Swillerton.
So you'd have first Mansfield, second Mansfield.
They were just Mansfield. I didn't really pay attention to them. They weren't my people, but they had like blue neckerchiefs.
No, but I'm saying if there was two scout groups in Mansfield,
okay,
you'd have there'd be Mansfield first.
Manfield. Yeah, okay, yeah, oh, okay,
so,
yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
My scout group was called 8th Hendon. So
yeah, yeah.
Hendon is not big, it's a part of London, but I can't believe for a minute there was eight Hendon scout groups. Yeah. And there might have been more, but...
Yeah, so anyway, a woggle is the thing that you put round your neckerchief to hold it up. So it's basically a cylinder, like, ring, and you squeeze it up your neckerchief, and it holds it in place. That's,
yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, that's a woggle.
I was just letting you dig and dig and dig.
Oh, you bastard.
So scouts have, it does, it's like a handkerchief folded in half, so it becomes a triangle. Yeah, you put it around your neck, two bits at the front. Instead of having to learn how to do a tie-up or something like that,
you
have a leather strip stapled on one side.
Yeah, I did one with electrical wire, like weed. But there were no badge for it, man. I was sick at that, man. I was the best woggle maker ever.
You could have
no badge for it. There's badges for all sorts of shit. And
like
I didn't get
fake news identification.
Fake news identification and buddying up or whatever. I could have sold them.
Go on, Steve. What's your badge going to be?
I'd have a craft wanker one.
Craft
wanker. Craft beer wanker.
You have to
drink so many craft beers before you can be like, or take so many arty-farty
pictures. I was taking that literally. Masturbating into
I mean, if
a
you want
to
wank, I mean, if you want to wank into a pint glass or a can, then that gets you an instant badge. But
take a picture of it before you drink it, though.
Yeah. I was thinking more of the like matching glasses and arty-farty pictures that we've done. But I mean, if you want to wank into a pint glass, then you top of the tree instantly there. So
love it.
There's no coming back from that, is there? Moving on.
No, that's it. Go on, Nath. Top that one.
Nath, what badge are you getting?
What, from the scouts?
Yeah.
Probably dishonorary discharge, I think, probably. Dishonorable discharge would probably say for anything. If I was going to have a scout badge, I think it would be to successfully purchase or acquire alcohol over 9% and drink this when you're under 15.
Okay.
Wow. Okay.
Called the, I'd say the name of the badge would be the transcend. You've successfully transcended into being an adult. Then
transcend.
As you've drank something which could probably give you alcohol poisoning, and but you'd have had a damn good time.
Okay, just to put the record straight, as a craft ale show, we're not advocating underage drinking. That aside.
I wasn't advocating it anyway. I mean, if anyone takes anything that I say seriously, then God help you. What else have I said here about that? I've spoken about the underage drinking, people having contracting AIDS for disagreeing with me. I'll put the shovel down, shall I, really? I can see there's not any will for me at all.
So I'm going to add mine now before we dig even deeper, despite the fact that he's put a shovel there. He's busy digging with his hands still.
I'm just trying to burrow into the core of the earth so I die now.
So I will give you the name of my badge in a moment, but there's a bit of a background to it. I was in 8th Hendon, as I've already said. I didn't last it, to be honest. I was there for about 3 or 4 months. And then
it's not a scout, man.
Oh, no, fuck you. Listen to this. I gave him the finger. For some reason, on this particular Friday night, I was at 8th Hendon, and it was about maybe 10 people in there. There was a couple of wankers in my group, actually.
Crafty wankers.
Yeah, no, they didn't have their craft ale badges, and they weren't masturbating in the pint glasses either.
I had no high-strength alcohols.
So.
No.
Failed.
So one night, whoever was running the group came to the session with nothing planned or arranged. So we went down to this local park, and it was this big, wet, muddy fucking hole in the middle of the park, and they all thought it'd be a laugh to chuck me in it. So I'm in, climbed out, filthy, brown, covered in mud. At least I thought it was mud. As soon as we're walking out, this fucking local dog walker walks past. You know, you've just chucked him in a cesspit.
Oh
no.
I was chucked into, and they all knew it as well. They chucked me, like, you know, four of them, one arm each, two of them, leg each for the other two, and like proper back forth swinging, fucking chucked me into this fucking, anyone who doesn't know what cesspit is, a pit full of excrement.
The hole with shit in it.
Yeah. Just try going home, explain to your parents at 14, 15 what happened.
Why are you covered in shit?
Yeah.
Oh, God. It's been awful to be fair.
Fuck you, cunts. So yeah. I've been waiting years to get that off my chest.
they'll listen to that now.
I kind of survived the cesspit scout badge.
I survived the cesspit
scout badge, yeah.
Maybe that's what they were doing. You never knew because you didn't survive it. You walked off in a huff.
I would say you weren't there for the ceremony.
Nah. You weren't there for it.
They posthumously gave it to me.
It's character building.
Bastards.
That does sound minging.
That is fucking horrible. So, we'll move on with some
little
more
Jeff,
news.
Man.
Yeah, but I
I'd have stopped him,
I'm not mentally scarred now, but for months after that.
Yeah, I can imagine.
There's no coming back from that, really, is there?
No, there's not. No.
It's quite harrowing.
You see some of those dicks that you say in school, and just you want to go up and smack them on in the face.
Awful, man.
Anyway, UK. So the UK plans to bring forward the ban on fossil fuel vehicles to 2030, a whole environmental movement to ban, emission producing vehicles.
Okay.
I personally think it's a good thing. I think this is bullshit news though. So this was announced by Boris Johnson recently. Obviously he's getting a lot of flack. So this tells something to the masses say something to the masses that will make them feel good. You know, we're just going to bring forward the ban on
fossil fuel
vehicles, which I personally think is a good thing. I don't drive. I know Stephen drives. Nathan kind of drives. I don't know about you, Aaron. No. Do you actually drive?
No.
I've actually kind of give up driving.
I was learning before COVID, and then I just don't feel comfortable sitting in a car with a stranger.
It's not just that. I just find there's so many dickheads on the road. It's just not worth it. I just think, you know what? I've lasted this long without a car. Why do I need one now? So I've put loads of money into doing it. I just think, there's no point. It's probably easier to learn how to fly a plane than it is passing a driving test. Fuck it.
I probably not, but
just fly a plane instead.
Yeah. Just pop you in a cockpit. Yeah, it's fine.
A helicopter's probably easiest to. I'd much rather have that than a car.
It's probably more convenient, to be fair.
It is.
There's no traffic. Well, or fewer traffic.
Well, exactly.
Less traffic at the minute. Bugger to park, though, isn't it?
I wouldn't say you have to find a decent-sized place to plonk it.
Yeah. Well, that is true, but most of these multi-story car parks, no one parks on the top floor anyway, roof. So...
And it probably, like, you, if you had an helicopter, it'd probably move everything out of the way anyway. And
plus, so, as far as I'm aware, I don't think there's any kind of actual alcohol laws in terms of being in charge of a privately owned aircraft.
Is there not? Surely there's something.
Sure, I'm sure there's going to be a problem.
Is a police helicopter going to exactly pull pull you over? We think you might be under the influence of alcohol.
Yeah, but when the air traffic control see a plane just going in circles,
that's because the landing gear is knackered. You can just make up any excuse you want. It's easier to get out of than if you're in a car.
Hang on, helicopters don't have... Well, some do, I guess.
Loophole.
If you really want to kind of cause trouble, get a seaplane and just have a giant pond in your garden. You can land the seaplane in. Because I think that falls under maritime laws then, so they can't do it anyway. I don't think the Coast Guard are going to travel, hundreds of miles inland to stop you then. So.
No, you're right. Do you know what? This probably wasn't the best subject.
No.
this is probably taking a different turn to what you expected, I imagine.
What did it start off as?
Fossil fuel. For Rachel, and we're going to make Rachel feel good about this when she listens to this. It's a kind of environmental aspect on the show.
Yeah, she'd love this.
I mean, I do get it, because, my previous job was working in cars, so
okay.
I do get the whole principle, but I just don't think... I don't believe the whole infrastructure thing is wrong. I think we can quite easily correct that, with charging points and home charging. I just don't think people are ready for it.
The infrastructure's not there at the moment, is it?
Not at the moment, but if you dial forward to 10, 15 years, we could quite comfortably invest in that future.
I don't know how long it takes to charge.
Well, it's the thing, it depends on the charging point in the car and different factors. Yeah.
There was a new Citroen. I should have brought it up or researched this for the show. So in Paris, I think you can drive it at 14 without a driving license. There's a new Citroën car release that's battery powered.
All right.
It charges from home from a main socket, so you don't need to have any special additional.
What, just from like a normal 3-amp?
Any electric car will charge from a three plug thing, really? But it takes forever to charge.
Yeah, I can imagine.
These ones don't, so you can get the proper 60, 70 kilometres out, and it's a city car, so it's not done for the mileage. Yeah. It's two-seater, and you can get a full charge in about 3 hours.
Oh, wow.
And again, you don't need a driving licence on them, because they're just lacking. I think the top speed was something like 50k.
That's bonkers.
That's fast enough, man.
Well, yeah, for getting around in
for
cities.
For a
14-year-old, yeah.
It's weird, from working from like car hire and then sales and leasing sort of background, is that people aren't ready for automatic cars, which sounds like crazy, but obviously electric cars are automatic because they don't have an engine, they don't have a gearbox, et cetera, without going into the details. But then the amount of people that I've come across that go, oh, I can't drive an automatic car.
Yeah.
I need a manual. It's like, well, you take the control of driving, the complex nature of driving a manual car. Yeah,
that's it.
I need to control the clutch with my foot, the gearbox with my hands, and knowing when to change gear and down gear. And blah,
just bought an automatic, and Hannah loves it. She says it's great. I don't even have to read. No.
You put it in drive.
She
does
have to think.
Yeah.
She says it was weird at first because she kept putting a foot on the clutch and stuff, but when she's got used to it, it's just like a go-kart now. She just goes, puts it into, takes it from park into reverse, out, and then drive, and then she's off.
Yeah,
she doesn't even have to think of anything.
Yeah, but I just don't think, because my dad's a driving instructor as well.
Yeah,
is that he's obviously thought ahead, because before he retires, he's probably going to have to think, well, I'm probably going to need an automatic car, because people are going to start having to get automatic licenses, because manual.
I was thinking of going to just doing an automatic license and doing it that way, but then again, will they ever get rid of manuals and stuff?
Well, I mean, they're going to stop them from being produced, as in manufactured from some scratch.
Yeah.
So obviously they'll probably phase out manuals and diesels and things eventually.
Yeah, yeah.
But they can't get rid of them straight away. At this moment, it probably accounts for 95% of vehicles on road.
Yeah.
But obviously that's the way it's going to go. So eventually it will be that anything petrol or diesel will be gone. It has to be a hybrid again, which is automatic, fully electric, which is automatic. And it will be a case of people have to drive autos, and that'll be it. It's just one of them that I just don't think the people are ready, not the infrastructure. I think we can quite comfortably in 10, 15 years make the infrastructure fit, because like I said, even if you leave a car to charge overnight for full 24 hours, you can charge it from a 3-pin domestic socket.
Yeah, yeah.
But I just think it's people's perception of, oh, I don't trust her. Because my other half, Anna, she won't even put cruise control on our car.
Really?
She just doesn't feel in control of the car. And for me, don't I'm just like, because it's got the automatic like detection of braking, slowing down, speeding up. Yeah. I love it. I just bob it on. Boop, done. Does it all for me.
Off you go.
Don't have to think about it. It's great. Obviously, you still have to pay attention because I know there's new stories of people in Teslas and stuff that have been asleep when it's been in autopilot and blah blah blah. But it's just, even she doesn't feel in control of the car, it's in cruise control. So there's still that point that I think people are still going to be, I don't want to drive an automatic
reluctant to get into it.
Yeah. Which is just weird.
It will happen. Time span wise, I'm not sure. It'd be good for 2030.
It would be good.
I mean, I think 10 years is not long though.
It's ambitious. Mm.
2030, when you, it sounds miles away, but it's not, you know, we're nearly in 2021.
Yeah.
When you think, it's mad.
Yeah, it won't be. It won't
and it's
be
the cost as well. Because like say, the cost of electric cars as well, like Volkswagen have just launched their new electric car, which is still $38,000. Which that's
not cheap.
That's
not
cheap, classed man, as an entry level electric car.
Oh, is it? Right,
that's entry level.
they will get cheaper.
They will get cheaper.
I wish I knew the name of the actual model of the car now, but the Citroen, the Raymint, a 14-year-old's.
It's got to be cheap.
It will be, yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Given, and it is. You know, you see those tiny cars.
Will it be road legal here?
I would have thought so for cities. I mean, motorway wise, what would you have to be doing, do you think, to be legal?
I think on a motorway, it's like...
Yeah, you have to pass a license to drive.
Yeah, no, but obviously, if you're plugging along at 20k on a motorway, then
that's
not roadworthy. But like, if you're reaching 50k, would that be acceptable?
I don't think so.
Your minimum speed on a motorway is 60, I think, because lorries are 60, cars towing caravans are 60. So, I think that might be a bit...
That's 50k as well.
That's 50k, so it'll be about 40 mile an hour, if that... Something like that. So it would be quite a it's almost
a bit
half.
Slow, isn't it?
It's almost half. So and I think
these things aren't exactly safe for motorways anyway. If you get a
thing that's capable of doing motorway speeds, then fine. But city car, I think if you had a city car that does city driving,
you're all right.
Then you're all right. But if you think about it logically, is that if there's kids on a scooter that can drive or ride a scooter at 16, 17, they don't have to have a full license.
No.
Well, is there any difference from driving a tiny car?
They're probably safer
in a tiny car because they can't fall off of it. You know, they don't have to go over somebody's bonnet if they crash it. So it's probably a safer option if you think about it.
Yeah, totally. Probably is, man. Mm. So no, I think that obviously the fuel thing is really good. I think, you know, we need to do something, don't we? So
yeah, well, even if it's for air pollution.
Yeah,
reasons.
Just. I mean, they said that. Is it Leeds free or something?
Yeah, well,
Leeds air or something. Yeah, smoke or something like. You're only going to be able to burn like wood that's sanctioned or whatever.
Yeah,
well, whatever it is.
It's mainly the cars. I mean, is it nitrous oxide? What they call NOx?
Mm. Yeah.
Nitrous oxide is an awful respiratory problem causing.
It's for asthma and stuff, isn't it? So it's
But they do reckon. I mean, the quote I did read was something like pollution from cars causes $6 billion per year in terms of additional costs for the NHS.
Really,
that's a lot of money.
Yeah, but the thing that gets me though is if you're going fully electric, is you have to roll out fully electric for everything. So that's like buses, lorries, ambulances.
Well, they've got the
police cars. It is a full, like you say, in 10 years. That's quite a big overhaul for a lot of industries and different things.
I mean, the infrastructure definitely has to be set up. But there's no reason why they can't do it stage. I would imagine
or stagger it. Yeah,
ambulances and police cars would probably be the last because I'd like to see the police have the power behind the...
I've run out of charge. I can't carry on chasing them anymore.
Pretty bad, wasn't it? Got a fire engine breaking down.
Yeah, so. Can I borrow your USB lead?
I can't turn my hose on.
All right, so let's move on to the final segment, Beer or BS. So Beer or BS is a bit where it's kind of true or false. A little bit of the old...
fake story after fake story.
It won't go away, will he?
No.
It's like an annoying fly.
Totally fake news. Made up, fake.
It's not fake. You are.
All right, so let's get Nathan back in on the game on this one. So during the 50s, 60s, and 70s, the highest rate of federal tax for the top band of income tax never dropped below 70%. So whatever you earn...
Which country is this in?
The USA. So 50s, 60s, and 70s, you paid... On the top rate of income tax, 70%.
What, 70% of your income was taxable?
Taxed, yeah. Yep, 70%.
Well, I know the UK in the like 60s had like 90% tax at one point because it was...
70%? It seems high, that.
I'd probably say it's beer, actually. Because there were some people making such obscene amounts of money, even back in those days.
Mm.
Like, because I know... Well, yeah, I think it was something like, yeah, the Beatles, they were taxed 90% of their income in tax.
Yeah, I'm not going to be led. That's very early spaff, that bullshit, isn't it? That's first question spaff.
I was going to say that's beer.
It's totally fake news. Made up, fake.
Oh, just turn him off, Jeff. I don't have to hear his voice anymore.
I'm going to go bullshit on that. I think that's fat. I just think it just seems ridiculously high.
Okay.
So... I'm not going to be led by Nathan's wise words.
Nathan's beer, you're bullshit. What do you reckon, Steve?
I'd say beer just because it sounds so ridiculous it has to be true.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Two beers and a bullshit.
Yeah.
Between them, Donald and Ivanka Trump claimed 170 grand's worth of tax expenses for maintaining their hair in a single year.
That's got it, yeah.
170K was... put down as expenses in a single year.
That's bonkers.
Well, he has to get his dry cleaned every week, so we must...
That toupee needs to look on point, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So. That's the thing, his hair looks fucking shit.
I've never really looked at her. I can never get past her eyes. Her eyes are just too... And you're drawn to her. I mean, even though they're not really there, they're that small, but like I just can never... So I don't even know what colour hair she has or what hairstyle is.
I don't even think I could like identify by face, to be honest with you.
She's just got really small eyes.
I mean, if I see somebody with small eyes now, I'm just going to think automatically she's like a Trump.
Yeah, honestly, have a look. Check it out, man. They're unbelievable.
It's a hilarious first name as well.
Yeah, it is. It's made up. Fake.
It's fake.
I'd probably say it's true.
Made up.
It's actually making me want to commit suicide in his voice. It really does. He depresses me so much.
I'm saying beer on that because I believe half of that is just his dry cleaning bill, as I've said.
170 grand in a single
year. Yeah, but come on. These are the... Yeah, definitely. They're all about image, aren't they, these? She is, anyway. And he is. So, yeah, I'm guessing. Yeah, I'm definitely going beer with this.
Okay.
I'm going to say BS because I think I've seen the actual number and I think it's less than that.
Okay.
I think, personally.
Wankier.
To be honest, I don't really know. I don't care, to be honest, if that makes sense.
Is that an option?
Yeah, I'm going to say that probably isn't an option. I'm going to say it's probably true because it's so kind of... ridiculous. It wouldn't surprise me in the least.
Yeah,
so two beers and a BS. Got to catch them all.
Pokemon?
There's a Pikachu badge for catching a given amount of Pokemon pets introduced into the UK scouting scene in 2017.
True or false? That's beer. Because that's about the same time.
It's fucking crazy, isn't it?
What has it come out in it? That fucking thing where you walked around and catched
Pokemon Go.
Pokemon Go.
God, that was a...
That was 4 years ago that came out.
Do you remember when that came out and everyone was going mad? So I believe scouts jumped on that just to get like kids in. Like, oh, come on, come and catch Pokemon with us or something.
Yeah, but the thing is, the badge isn't actually usable in the game. It's like it's a gym badge or something, so you can go and fight the Elite Four or whatever. So if you were kind of savvy about it, you'd just tell them to get fucked.
I'm saying beer for Pikachu.
On that note,
Pikachu badge.
I like that. I'm going to go back and listen to that bit. I'm like, get fucked to who?
Well, just a scout trying to get people to join their organisation just because of a Pokemon Go.
So you think
I like how you're getting annoyed about something that I made up. That's not why they've done it. It might not even be true.
the thing is, if that is the case, that it's true. I'm not angry about anything. I'm just pointing out the fact that if this organisation has been cynical enough to think, this is a mobile phone game, we need to get new people to join our kind of slightly creepy organisation... where it's a load of men ordering around a load of adolescent boys doing stuff.
And girls now,
yeah, to be fair. So that's that kind of widens the net even more then. So they're cynical enough to kind of bring an athlete, a badge, they can get a Pikachu badge or something, because if they're playing Pokemon Go.
Yeah,
it's...
Nathan saved up all this.
Give me a beer or bullshit, mate.
Pent up aggression.
I'm going to say that it's probably true, because it won't surprise me if they're going to try such underhand tactics to get people to join it.
All right,
so that they'll have something to do with a fucking mobile phone game. It wouldn't surprise me. Wouldn't surprise me.
We've got two truths. What do you reckon, Stephen?
It's the opposite of the other one. It just sounds so stupid that it has to be. It can't be true. Bullshit. Surely. Bullshit. I know obviously we've got the fucking fake news identification badge, but surely catching Pikachus in Pokemon Go in a real life setting has no actual value, as opposed to obviously at least the fake news.
Yeah, to be fair, as well with the scouts though, what's it like? One of the badges for being able to tie 3 or 4 different knots.
Yeah.
What good's that?
There'll come a time. Yeah. There'll come a time where.
Yeah, there's lots of times I've used my reef knot. So I always tie a reef knot in stuff now.
All right, okay.
So,
do you use it for a garrote or something? I don't know.
Well, I was going to go down a slightly darker rabbit hole there, but I won't.
No, go on, explore it.
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, explore it, yeah.
No.
Politely decline.
Was the reef not for some kind of like sexual asphyxiation masturbation act or something like that?
Well, I wasn't going to I wasn't going to go quite that far. I think you went down the rabbit hole I went and carried on digging.
That seems to be a topic for me. I really should not get drunk going on here, shouldn't I? I mean,
I like it.
I really should not.
It's good listening.
It's not good listening, because I can imagine if this was actually a radio show, Ofcom would probably have me shot in the face probably for the stuff I've seen.
As of May 2019, the number of public charge points outnumbered petrol stations in the UK.
Bullshit.
Bollocks. Yeah, that's bullshit. Yeah,
May 2019, the number of public charge points for electric cars outnumbered petrol stations in the UK.
What class is the public charge point? Because there could be someone who's like had about 4 or 5 of them outside in the garage.
It's a public one.
It's either one on the street or one in like a.
I don't think I've actually seen any in public at all.
The only ones I've ever seen.
Across the road.
There's one. Yeah, where? Exactly.
In the little car park.
There's two in the other
car
park.
That's not across the road. That's along the road, Jeff.
All right. Fuck you. It's not immediately opposite. Yeah. And it's not there.
Do you know that? The only ones I've seen.
Oh, no, you're absolutely right, Jeff. I apologise to you there. You are right. There is one. I thought it was like a. I thought that was an air pressure thing. Is that an actual charge point for a car?
Is it white and green?
I can't tell. I've seen it from a distance. It just looks like it's like a silver kind of bollard with like a symbol on it.
There's probably a charging
Nathan's
point.
Nathan's been there trying to pump his bike tires up. It's not working.
I've just been trying to inject myself with air, to be honest, just to make myself feel alive.
I need some oxygen.
That's not for the little 17-year-olds to hang out at 2 a.m. charging their phones.
I was going to say, I wondered why there was all those kids on skateboards around there. I thought they were getting high off it or something like that.
Charging the rubber
ball. I was going to go after this and go see what they were about, but I might not know if there was a charging point.
God. It's bullshit. It's back on track. Bullshit. I don't think that's true at all.
All right, bullshit.
I think that's actually beer. Because some of the service stations that you see, there's probably about 15 in one service station. Right. And obviously there's like you say, there's two up the road, then there's a lot in London, there's a lot in like Edinburgh, Scotland, that sort of thing. So I think it's probably beer.
Right. Okay, Nath.
Is this counting like filling stations solely dedicated to these charge points, or is it just the charge points itself?
I'll just read the statement. As of May 2019, the number of public charge points outnumbered petrol stations in the UK.
Is this individual charge points compared to individual petrol pumps?
I'm not giving you any more information, because the minute I do, then it lends credence to the fact that it's either beer or bullshit.
I mean, well, that's why I'm asking.
Probably, I'm not telling you.
I'll say it's. I'm probably going to say it's.
It's literally a coin flip right now, isn't it? It's just.
Oh, why can't you just answer my questions?
He's going to lose his mind.
I'll say it's true, because if that's the case, because technically, if there's like a. Like you see on, like in sort of like pubs, like, you know, feel free to charge your phone here. If there's someone savvy enough and with a USB cable long enough, they could plug their car into that there, into that electrical box there. Yeah, so I'm going to say, yeah.
I don't think they're charged by USB, I don't think.
Well, say, for example, someone's made some ridiculous device where he's put different USB cables together.
He's got a port.
He's got a port, yeah, and he's managed to do it.
Fair so can you imagine I'm spending gonna say, yeah. 24 hours in Nathan's head?
Charging a car.
Like, to be fair, yeah, 24
minutes. That's why I'm on medication for the rest of my life. You don't want to be... I'm going to say it's true.
All right. BP,
wow,
British Petroleum, BP, in 2017 made £5.6 billion profit, yet they received a net tax payout of £134 million, effectively paying no tax and gaining £134 million off £5.6 billion in profit.
I'm going to say that's true because they're a bunch of bastards.
Eloquent.
Okay, fair enough. Well, I'm gonna say beer, and for the simple reason, I've used my bullshit twice for two of these, and it sounds something that it sounds like something that
it's
happened.
True. It's fucking shocking. Isn't
yeah, it
I
mean? Is. Yeah, but it's not. Yeah, but it's not. The, I mean, we've not talked just about Donald Trump today and his shithouse. Maneuver
shit out for real.
But so, these aren't fantasy billionaires. These are real billionaires.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Trump never had that money.
No, yeah. I know. But the more it seems, the more money you have, the more that you can get away with shit and stuff like that. So
yeah,
the BP have managed to get away. There was that huge oil spill in Mexico where they basically just got.
Oh yeah, forgot just about got that.
Like, you can't do this again, BP, and stuff like that. Yeah, like, they got nothing a slap happened on the wrist. Them. Nothing happened to them, so it wouldn't actually surprise me. That's if you're probably wondering why I said yes, they got away with it because they're a bunch of bastards. That's not to say every employee who works for BP is. There's some probably very nice people.
I mean, some of them might be our listeners, so just to clarify.
If you are, a shareholder in BP, please have a word with your ethics community. I mean, seriously, it's like the come on, making all that profit and hardly paying any tax. Come on.
Yes.
Fossil fuels are going to last forever.
I agree.
From my heart. What do you reckon, Stephen?
I reckon that the fact that they actually got some money is true, but I'm going to say BS because on the point that Nathan just said there about the whole oil spill and things, I reckon they managed to warp that as some sort of tax rebate or expense. So I reckon that the fact that they didn't pay any tax is true, but I'm going to say that actual money is, that actual figure is bullshit, I reckon.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Should we do some answers and then
some answers. I always write mine down. All right.
I'm going to say, what are you writing down?
Yeah, right,
I don't think I
got full marks last week, mate.
Have you got a diary that you put them in?
I'm keeping score.
I didn't even take part last week. I fell asleep.
Let's put it this way. Like, I wouldn't bet on you getting full marks this week.
All right.
He's got to screw his paper up now.
Yeah, I'm not, no point me bothering then, is there?
So during the 50s, 60s and 70s, the highest rate of federal tax for the top band of income tax never dropped below 70%. Mm-hmm. This is in fact true.
Fucking hell. That's a
In the 80s, it dropped to about 50%, and in the 90s, about 40%. But yes, it is true. Tax rates were that high, and people still survived. They lived. Businesses did all right.
They had a lot to pay for.
It just seemed to die.
Just goes to show, though, doesn't it? Between Donald Trump...
It's totally fake news. Made up, fake...
And Ivanka Trump. It is true. They both claimed a total of $170,000 fucking dollars in a single year for expenses on getting their hair
done. I thought it was less than that.
Fucking losers.
That's ridiculous though, isn't it?
Don't they know, like, you know, sharp cuts? Cass, get it done for a tenner.
Mine cost me £5.
where are you going?
At the top of Main Street.
Mm-hmm, fair enough.
Don't even need to go to Cass.
No?
Yeah.
All right, so this one was...
Fake story after fake story.
Pokemon, Pikachu badges, total fake.
I can say it had to be.
Total bullshit. And Nathan and Aaron both went true on that.
I honestly thought...
Because you weren't even listening.
You went to sleep again.
No, I'm just so drunk, I don't know what's happening, to be fair.
Yeah, Pokemon Go badges, bullshit.
There's no Pikachu badge, man.
I'd say it depends on the scout leaders, to be fair, really, if it was true or not, really.
Bollocks, yeah, it wasn't.
Did you hear that noise you made before?
Yeah.
A little squeak. So I like someone squeezing the end of a balloon.
Okay, so as of May 2019, the number of public charge points outnumbered petrol stations in the UK. This is, in fact, true. So that was 2019. There were 8,471 charging sites across the UK, as opposed to 8,400 petrol stations. And number of petrol stations is closing down.
Yeah. That you were saying, no? You know?
Inside knowledge.
There you go.
That's that's from working in the car industry.
Cheating.
My other half works for Enterprise as well, EC. So it's
definitely Dr. Point.
Yeah. I shouldn't claim that, should I? So.
No.
Alrighty. And the final one, BP made $5.6 billion in profit in 2017, received a net tax payout of $134 million. This is true. Ooh. They contributed nothing to the country and running of it, cunts.
That's ridiculous.
You can't say anything to me about AIDS and stuff now, Jeff. You've just got them all.
Different.
I don't know. But yeah, all right. Yeah, a lot of people get upset by that word, especially if you're not Australian.
You're right. If you're a BP shareholder, you're a fucking cunt.
Right. We'll leave it at that. Thank you for the hear.
Well,
so should we do some beer reveals?
Yes.
Who's going first?
I'll go first.
Go on then.
So let's get this open. I'm not gonna say what it is. I can already tell that it's a North from the can design because they're so.
Oh, you can probably tell by the feel of the can.
Yeah. So.
Oh.
Green Curve. This is not this one actually, and this is with Stillwater. This one. So I saw this advertised.
It's a collab, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. Collab with Stillwater. Yeah. I saw this advertised on. Their page the other day. Top. Love North. I think it's probably the, in my opinion, I think not just one of the best in Leeds, it's one of the best in the country, North. I think that I do think they are that good. They're well up there. That were brilliant. 6.5.
Yeah.
I am pissed. 6.5%, which I surprised that. I thought it was stronger than that. So they've done incredibly well to get that amount of body. In there, in my opinion. IPA.
It's a Tesco one, that, isn't it?
Yes.
So, yeah, that's where I saw it, in fact. Not their site, Tesco's Instagram or whatever.
Yeah, I was struggling last night, and, fuck, I haven't got a beer. I can just walk down to Tesco's and Helen's like, just leave it to me. Just choose them.
It's a good beer to get in Tesco, that, though. Cause is it another Creek one, that one, or is it just a normal...
Yeah. So
I ordered that about 11 PM last night, and it was turned up at the house at 10 this morning.
Brilliant,
really.
On the shop,
that's good service.
Well, that's the shop, the order had already been placed. She just updated the order for us.
Yeah. No, that's brilliant. Yeah, it's a Kavik, as you say. Mm. So, I didn't see that actually. Yeah, but yeah, no, that's class. I'm going to give that big score. Actually, I really, really, really enjoyed that. I think so far that's my highest score. I'm going to give that a 9 out of 10. That's really I really enjoyed that.
Definitely keen to try that now.
So that's actually probably the best supermarket beer I've ever had.
Nice.
I've had some decent beers from supermarkets as well. So yeah, no, I love that. Thought it was brilliant.
Excellent. So what have you got, Steve?
Cool. So we'll peel the.
So I said I think roll. I know what this is.
Yeah.
I'm wrong.
Ah.
I thought this was going to be the dude looks like a hazy.
Ah, fair enough.
Because of looking at the can now,
which
it's actually a silver top.
Yeah,
which
silver.
Is silver top, black can, but a bright pink label. It's High Roller by Play Brewing Company. Okay. So these are in Teesside, because we've actually got these in the shop.
That's where I got it from.
Crappies, which I'm guessing which is where,
yeah, I did.
Where it's picked up from. So yes, this is part of their Vegas Special Edition series.
You served me for that.
You want to say it?
What I said.
When you biked down, is that?
When I biked down, yeah.
The irony. Yeah, little did we know.
There you go.
But it's a double dry hopped pale ale, which it has Citra, Galaxy and Mandarina Bavaria in it. And it's 5.4%, which probably attests for the reason why I said it was a little bit thinner than what it potentially actually looked. But it's still been a very, very nice beer. And one of theirs over the weekend, actually, one of the new ones that's coming, one of the session IPAs, which has been very nice. But yeah, I've enjoyed the beer that I've had, and I've really enjoyed that actually. Which I'd probably give an 8 out of 10.
Nice.
Which, like I say, for the 5.4%, it's got a lot of flavour.
Cool.
But like I say, probably just a bit thin, but that's probably to be expected with the percentage that it actually comes in at.
Yeah. Excellent. Salmon. Good one.
Nathan?
Okay. So I've got...
I'm intrigued by this now.
Okay. I am as well, to be fair. Cause...
Have you finished it all?
What his reaction's going to be?
And we have got...
Have you stitched him up or something?
It's one that I've
Nathan
been in the shop
must
for a while.
Be fucking awful at Christmas.
I know.
You know,
it's so
all
long.
His presents. It's that you're there to, like, you can only start opening them at 10 in the morning and be there till 2 in the afternoon.
Right, this is from...
We've had dinner.
This is from Abbeydale Brewery, which I've never heard of before. It has the... It has Chapter 4 above it with... art on the can, which looks like a Avenged Sevenfold album.
Funkin'
Drublic, barrel-aged sour lager. Yeah, that was really nice, actually. That was really nice. I thought it tasted, you know, a bit sour, but it had loads of flavour to it. It was really, really nice.
Yeah,
I quite like that, apart from it's absolutely sent me fucking batshit insane. hence why, the latest from the Funk Dungeon in our interpretation bretted lager after primary fermentation with classic lager yeast, doesn't say what it is, we've pitched a blend of basically it says it's been put in American oak casks, which are ex-wine barrels for 14 months to provide a well-balanced beer and crisp bitterness backed up by refreshing acidity. Yeah, I'd agree with that. It says it's 5.2%, however, I would disagree with that. I think it's stronger than that. I would probably give that for the great time I've had.
That's a bit like the hip-hop.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
I'd probably say for the great time I've had with this tonight, I'd probably give that 8.5 out of 10. I'd also like to apologise for anybody I've offended this episode. Apart from the people I've offended, fuck you.
Do you know what?
It's great to have him back.
I know both of you are getting married. If your best man don't turn up, you've got to have Nathan on there to do your speeches.
We've got
to
get him, whatever that is, we've got to get him a few more of them. Yeah, tank him up on that.
You usually
get him
on a best man speech, don't you? Like, I don't mean to apologise. I don't mean to offend anyone, but I apologise. But then Nathan's like, oh.
But to those who have fuck off.
Well, it's like, Jeff. For example, if you are a BP shareholder, I mean, come on, look at the paying tax. I mean, why? What do you need all that money for? Do you like throw bundles of it on the fire and laugh and send videos to children in need or something? It's like,
Jesus. It's been nice to see Nathan let off the reins without Rachel.
It's made up for last week.
It's been... Jesus.
Of last episode.
I don't know if I can... I'm going to probably wake up in the morning thinking there's going to be an FBI death squad come after me or something.
You're going to be
Ofcom are going to say, like, you can't say this on the air and stuff like that. But...
Nath, we got your back. We got your back. We got your...
We'll no, you haven't, Jeff. You'll throw me to the wolves. I know what you're like.
We'll never throw you to the wolves. to the squirrels, maybe.
In fairness, I think, isn't the point? Technically, I'm just a guest on the show, aren't I? So technically, everything's.
Yeah, bugger that.
Right, Nate, me and you are founding members.
Oh, shit.
Your name's all over it.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Okay.
Go on, Jeff. What you got?
Do my beer. So I've got Disco Forklift Truck. I've seen this a few times, but never tried it. It's a mango pale ale. By Drygate Brewing Company.
Can you get that in Sainsbury's?
I don't know. Actually, I know. I think you can.
I think Sainsbury's did a contract with Drygate. Sorry, go on. That's me cutting in.
No, totally. I think you can get it in Sainsbury's. 5.2% ABV. I didn't pick up the mango, but now I know it's mango. I can now pick it up.
Yeah.
There was a little bit of bitterness going on in that as well. It was definitely enjoyable. I think I could... probably drink 2 or 3 cans of that.
Yeah,
definitely a solid beer. I'm going to give that 6.9.
Fair.
It definitely really, really quite enjoyable. But I think for a mango pale ale, I would have liked that mango to be a bit more specific.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It was a bit mixed up in the bitterness. Yeah,
yeah.
Do that. I'll get all those beers photographed and we'll get them on the show notes.
Yeah, yeah. That sounds cool, man.
So do you have a beer suggestion for us?
I do, yeah. And it's North Brewing Co. again.
Nice.
This one is Metronomic. if I can say it right. There you go. So this is a West Coast IPA, as it's described. And it's all C hops in there. C hops, generally. C hops, the letter C, not as in C, as in the C. But yeah, these are all C hops. So there's Citra, Chinook, and Columbus in there. So they all go really well together. I've chosen this because I think it was actually what made me think about it is we met in Leeds beforehand a couple of weeks ago, and we were discussing the difference between New England and West Coast, and you were saying that you sometimes find it hard to have West Coast because it does have that bitterness in there, and it's, you know, the New England's are a lot more fruitier and, if you like, easier to drink and things like that. So I like the metronomic because I think it's a good beer as an introduction into West Coast. Now, it is a West Coast, if you like, but it's not West Coast. The best way for me to describe it is if we were on a plane starting in San Francisco, and that's West Coast, and we were on a plane going to New England, we're flying somewhere over Utah.
Is it like a Vermont sort of thing? Like a sort of like a halfway house almost?
It's a little bit more west than it is east. Yeah, so yeah, we're flying over Utah.
Well, which is like a no-coast IPA.
I would say it's leaning more towards west, but it doesn't have that same, like you were saying, to get that bitterness in there and things like that earlier. It doesn't have that, but it definitely is a West Coast for me. But it's a good introduction into West Coast. Okay. And I think once you get into West Coast and you get, as you were saying, if you get good West Coasts, they are, it's easily my favourite style of beer at the moment. Before that, it was New England, but now I've drunk more West Coasts and got into them. I think they're a lot better. I do like that bitterness. Okay. But it's a big change from, you know, from going from the East Coast to the West Coast. It is a big change and it's a big difference. So if you're looking to get into West Coast, try that one.
Where can you get it?
From there, I just go straight to North. They've got some good deals on at the moment.
I'll get all that.
I think it's like £50 free delivery, something like that. So yeah, go direct to them.
I'll get it all linked up in the show notes. Do we have anything from Nathan tonight?
Yes, of course we have. stop laughing, for God's sake. I know I'm pissed. Yeah, funnily enough, my interesting beer fact of this episode is the world's most famous brewery, well, most famous beer, rather, is Budweiser. Quite why, I don't know. presumably because it's probably
it's
had the most...
king of beers?
Well, apparently it's the king of beers. I think it's only one of the few... there's not many beers actually made with rice.
Yeah, it is made with rice.
Yeah it's made with rice. And it's also not a bad beer if you've got a really bad hangover. I've always found it's a good hangover beer.
It's just mostly CO2.
Well, exactly. It works. So Budweiser does actually have its place in the kind of, I suppose, the beer food chain, if that makes sense.
Fair enough.
So, yeah.
There you go. That's a nice beer fact.
Yeah, so I'll probably have one tomorrow morning when I wake up. Because I'm absolutely pissed.
Good link.
Alrighty. Okay, so we're about to wrap up the show. First of all, thank you to Steve for coming in.
No, cheers, man. It's been a laugh.
No, thank you for having me. It's been good. I appreciate it.
I apologise anyway, Steve. I'm really sorry.
I listened to a few shows beforehand, so I knew what I was getting into.
Really, so.
I listened to the infamous falling asleep episode of the weekend, and I had the introduction because we briefly met up at Pig Love on Thursday. So
that's right.
I kind of got a bit of a forewarning on that. So
I see.
For what you partook, it was good to listen.
It was good. I will finish off on a quote in a minute in Rachel's absence.
Yes.
But again, thank you. I'll get all your details of your show, where people can catch it on the podcast. I'll also get details of, I mean, do you call your place a bottle shop? I love the term bottle shop.
I mean, it's more cans than bottles, but it just sticks. Bottle shop sounds better than can shop, doesn't it?
It does. It sounds cooler, doesn't it?
It's an Australian name, but can shop doesn't work. So I'll get details of the bottle shop put on the site and the show notes as well. So our quote in Rachel's absence is from Kaiser Wilhelm, the last king of Prussia. Mm-hmm. He said, "Thoughts on the matter. Give me a woman who loves beer, and I will conquer the world. Come back, Rach. We miss you.
We need you, man. Woman.
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 So thank you for listening if you got this far, and we will see you again in 2 weeks.
2 weeks. Aye. See you then.
I've got first dibs on the bathroom.
Bollocks.